All right, welcome to episode 90 of the Business in Morocco podcast. Today we're going to talk about getting hired, finding a job in Morocco. It's a topic that we started the podcast with, episode one, which is almost 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago. And we talked also about, specifically about job interviews from the point of view of an employer and a job seeker, but today we're going to revisit the topic in general, how to get a job or how to be productive and earn some money. So stay tuned for that. But before, Ryan, how you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, good to see you, Ryan. Doing well. I'm still here in Canada for another couple of months. But yeah, I'm excited about the way things are growing with the podcast. It's exciting to be, we're at episode 90. We just crossed 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, and we've had some really great guests, even some return guests over these last couple months. So that's exciting to see and to be part of. And we've got to explore what we're going to do for our 100th episode, see if we can do a big in-person event, if we'll be allowed to, if people would be comfortable coming. But yeah, things are going good with my real estate business over here. As I mentioned on a previous episode, purchased a new home, which is going to be converted into a duplex, into two units. And the contractors are beginning work today. So there's been some demolition that's happened, but they're going to take over and continue the project from there. So that's exciting.
How long do you think that's going to take?
I'd say about 3 months because, you know, the upstairs, there's no kitchen, the bathroom's going to be completely gutted, and there's some work to be done in the bedrooms as well. And then the downstairs is just completely empty. So building a two bedroom apartment with a kitchen and a bathroom from scratch. So it'll take some time.
Wow. It's a big project.
Excited. But you, how have you been?
Good. Started teaching here at CIST, Cardiff University here in Casablanca. So teaching intro to marketing for the first year and strategic management for third year students. So that's interesting project. It's more work than I was thinking it was going to be. Because of the COVID restrictions, there's limitations on class size, and we're doing 1 hour of content online per week. And so creating a video is more work than doing like an in-class presentation. Just because of editing and getting all the slides and everything together. And, you know, I want the content to be valuable because it's supposed to replace an hour of class. So, you know, I don't know whether my standards are too high or I'm just a slow worker, but I'm taking a lot. It's taking a lot of time to do the work. I'm sure it's like this podcast. I mean, when we first started this podcast, it would take me a long time to edit the shows and get everything together and get it all posted. But once I developed a process and a habit, I figured out what all the tools were. It went much faster. So I'm hoping that that's will be the case with this teaching, but I'm happy about the energy of the students and their involvement, enthusiasm, and their level of English is pretty good. I mean, obviously the third year students are at a higher level than the first year students, but we have good class participation. And so I'm hoping that we get to stay in class for the rest of the year, and we don't go online because I think it would be a lot harder to teach online than with everyone in the classroom together. So
when you're doing the online classes, it's a pre-recorded video or is it a live Zoom call with everybody?
So it's a pre-recorded video.
Okay. And then when you're in person, are all the students wearing masks, but you're at the front without a mask?
We all have masks. They're at varying positions on your face, but we all have masks. Sometimes with the language barrier, in order to understand what someone's saying, you need to make adjustments.
Right.
But that's a good point. I need to make a note of that. I need to find one of those clear masks because it's very hard for people in the back of the classroom to hear me when I'm wearing a towel on my face.
Yeah.
Clear mask.
Especially when you're dealing with various accents and when you're operating in your second, third, fourth language, as some of these students are, it really is difficult to understand people when you're muffled through a mask. So that's added a lot of challenges.
Yeah. But, you know, we could actually start off the episode with one of the things I told my students last week. And I was talking to them specifically about, you know, how to get a job. First of all, I asked how many had a job already, and almost nobody did. I think I have like 80 students. There may have been like two or three of them that are working.
Right.
And I said, well, that's your first mistake. You should be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit better participation on LinkedIn. And I said, well, you should start that right away. But the one thing I told them, as I said, you're taking a business degree program and you're going to graduate with a diploma in business with a certain specialty. Could be marketing, international business, law, I think there's a couple others. But one of the classes that is not offered is sales. And I said, it's not Cardiff, it's not SIST, it's not Morocco. When you look at business programs around the world, whether they're undergraduate or graduate, they don't have sales courses. My master's of business did not have a sales course in Virginia at George Mason. And as far as I know, Harvard Business doesn't have one either. And they're supposed to be the gold standard.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking now, I don't know if I had a sales course in my MBA either.
Well, you know, and I said to them, you know why they don't have a course is because everybody who can sell is outselling. Like they're not teaching. They really are. They're outselling. And I told them, I said, if you can sell, you will always have a job. Always. You'll always have a job. And the best way to learn how to sell is to start doing it. So the first tip that I want to give to our audience about finding a job in Morocco is go to one of these big markets. You know, here in Casablanca, we have Derb Galef, Derb Sultan, Derb Omar, where you can buy things in large quantities.
Mm-hmm.
So buy them, move them somewhere else in the city, break them down into smaller parts and sell them off. Go through that process. Develop a plan, develop a strategy, and go through the process of going out and trying to sell something to somebody and make a profit. Now, the important thing is not necessarily making a profit. That's a good thing. But the important thing is to learn what to actually have experience selling, gaining some confidence and some experience. But it's also a great story that you can tell in an interview that will set you apart.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what type of job you're applying for. If you're in an interview and you can look at the person doing the interview and say, well, I was studying or I was unemployed, so I decided that I want to get some sales experience. So I went and I bought this product for these reasons. Then I developed this sales plan. And then I went and I did my sales plan. This is what I sold it for. This is how I adjusted my strategy. And this was the final result. This is what I learned. Like, you are going to stay in the memory of that person.
Yeah.
Like, it's just no question that you are, because hardly anyone is going to have a story like that, especially for an entry level position.
Yeah.
So get your auto entrepreneur card, you know, go on Google, type in auto entrepreneur Morocco and follow the steps and go get it and go do it. So that's my first tip.
Yeah, that's really good. I think when you recognize that an employer is looking to see, are you going to add value to my company? Are you going to make me money? Because the only reason an employer is hiring somebody is because it's good for them. Somebody's going to come in and they're going to add more value to the company than it's costing the company to hire that person. And so when you prove to somebody, I can make sales, I can take initiative, I can, you know, use my intuition or my training to make adjustments to a plan, to overcome obstacles, like the example you're describing, it shows the employer that you have the type of experience and the characteristics that are going to add a lot of value to their company. And so if you have that experience of choosing a product, then going and selling it, you could then choose another product that's owned by a company and approach that company and say, I know I could sell this. I know if you hire me on, I can go out and convince customers to purchase it, to acquire this product or to take advantage of this service. And I know I can do it because this is another product that I've previously sold, and your confidence will open up a lot of doors for you. You could go and choose the companies that you'd like to work for.
Yes, absolutely. Some of the things I told the students in strategic management, because strategic management is always, it's all about decision-making. It's about understanding who you are as an organization. What are your resources, your assets, your tools? What are the goals? And then planning to get there. Planning and then executing and adjusting as you go based on the results that you see. Now, that's strategic management. It's managing the organization to achieve its goals. What I said to the students is, if someone can tell you exactly how to do your job, right, they can give you a very detailed job description and they can tell you exactly how to do each step of it. I said, forever, that will be a low paying job. Forever.
Yeah.
And where you get paid more money is to do problem solving. It's to take a current situation with an unknown future, apply your knowledge and experience and your resources to that problem and design a pathway to a solution. And that's really what strategic management is all about. So if you are in a job interview and you can show the interviewer that you are a problem solver, not only are you a problem solver, but you have the courage to investigate things that you don't understand and you don't know how to do and find a solution to them, then again, you will set yourself apart in your job interview. I mean, I think you would impress most HR people if you were to tell them, I registered as an auto entrepreneur, I got my card, I registered a bank account, I paid my taxes.
Yeah.
Like I figured out how to do all of that.
Right.
It would be impressive.
Yeah, it speaks very highly. Now, when you were telling your students that they've made a mistake by not working, did some of them say, well, I'm studying right now. When would I work or why would I do both at the same time? Was there any pushback on that?
Not really. I mean, it was the first week. I don't know. I don't know if I expect them to push back so soon, although there are some students that are certainly willing to engage. And I like that. I hope that we have active participation because, look, one thing is certain. I don't know everything. Okay. I know some things. I have some experience, but I certainly am not an expert in everything. And so I'm happy to have people question what I'm saying or offer different points of view. But my answer to them is, you know, you're probably not that busy. Like your frame of reference in the world may be like school, but if you ask anyone who's like 30 years old or older to compare like a full work day to a full school day, they'll just laugh, right? They'll just like, there's no comparison.
Right.
None at all. And, I'd say that if anybody actually put 40 hours into their schooling, they would by far be the valedictorian. Like they would be the best performer of any other student in that class, because it's an incredible amount of time to be focusing and working on something.
Right. Yeah, it's true. I've challenged my students on that as well. Like when you really start tracking your time and determining, well, how many hours am I putting into attending classes, studying, or working on homework? It's a pretty low number. And of course, it gets very intense around exams or short periods where a lot of assignments are due. There's periods of intensity, but often those are caused by the small number of hours that have been put into it in the weeks leading up to it. When you do 4 weeks in a row of just 15 hours of effort, then you're going to put in some 100-hour weeks or some 80-hour weeks to catch up or to get the assignments done on time or to try to cram for exams. Then the other thing you need to look at is the entire year as a whole. How many hours are you putting in when you include having 4 or 5 months off a year? So coming back to this topic of preparing to be hired in Morocco, I think to demonstrate to employers that you have a strong work ethic, that you're capable of handling a lot, that you have a higher capacity, again, you'll set yourself apart if you are handling more things than one at a time. If you're able to hold down a part-time job or have some kind of a side hustle where you're doing gigs or you're earning some income as an entrepreneur in addition to your studies, it'll demonstrate that you have a high capacity, that you're able to juggle things, you're able to keep more than one thing going at the same time. And the other thing about a part-time job, a lot of students shy away from them because the jobs that they qualify for before they've completed their education and they have a degree, they're often low paying or they're kind of, you know, they're at the bottom of the totem pole, you know, they're the bottom of the organizational chart. And there's some students that don't want to begin at the bottom. You know, they expect to earn a degree, get their master's, and kind of slide into a management position somewhere. And I think students should really be open to, anybody who's unemployed should be open to starting from the bottom. You don't have to wait for your dream job. You can begin wherever somebody is willing to hire you, prove yourself, gain experience, and from that position, you can leverage that into better paying or more qualifying roles. But to go from, you know, being unemployed and just sitting in your pajamas hoping for a position is a bad plan. It's better to take what you can find for the moment and grow from there into better roles. We have a great example of that in Nofal, the engineering student, the computer engineering student from Tangier that we interviewed a number of episodes ago. And he started just as an intern at a company and proved his worth. You know, he showed that he was hardworking and that he was very skilled. He was learning as he went. He's a fast learner. And he proved his value to his employer. And he was given a management position just a year and a half in. And so if he had held out for a management position, there's no way he would have been hired. They weren't going to give it to him. He was just a new graduate. But as someone with just 18 years experience, being willing to start from the bottom, he rose quickly through the ranks, but he had to be willing to begin somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there's this idea of social credit, right? Social authority. And it's far more powerful than a resume or even like a letter of recommendation. If you have a job, even if it's not the one you want, and you apply for a different job that's at a higher level, which, by the way, most people, when they get promoted, they change organizations. Mm. When people move up, they move sideways and up, right? You move to a different company, maybe a competitor in the same industry, but you move up into their organization because they have an opening. But my point is that there's social credit in the fact that if you are currently working, then the company you want to work for, they look at that as approval, right? It's It's validation. Someone else has gone through the process of validating you and saying you're worthy of having a job or this job. So it's far easier. I mean, it sounds terrible, but it's far easier to get a new job when you already have one than when you don't have one.
Right.
And so, yes, you know, take a job, especially in this environment. People still don't understand how bad the economy is right now. It still has not fully sunk in anywhere in the world, but it is bad. It is very, very bad. And so if you are offered any kind of opportunity, if you are unemployed or you're offered any kind of opportunity, you need to think very seriously about taking it and going forth and then working from that position to a more desirable position. We're not in an economy where unemployed people can demand a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And one example we've interviewed on this podcast is Sophia Elwardi, where she was having trouble finding a job. And so she followed your advice and she started just selling something on her own, which was her writing ability. You know, she's very articulate. She's good in English and in French and in Arabic. And so she created an account on one of the gig economy sites like Fiverr. I forget which some of the other ones, Upwork. Yeah. So she created an account on one of those and started just with these small level gigs, you know, doing work for a small amount of money. But then it grows from there. As you gain experience and people see your reviews and they see the work you've done previously, you can start charging more. And she was able to leverage from that into a permanent position at a company because she was able to show that she's got those characteristics we're describing, where she's entrepreneurial, she's hardworking, and she's got skills to offer a company. And so she's a great example. She also leveraged LinkedIn, which you've encouraged your students, you know, they need to begin even in their first year to build a LinkedIn profile and start to grow their network, start to build an online reputation in their industry. She really focused on that. And that's really how she found this job was it was a contact in LinkedIn that knew who she was, what she represented, and hired her to join their company. So these people we're referencing, you know, I encourage our listeners, if you want to hear more about this topic and see people actually applying this advice, you can go back into our catalog. We're at episode 90 now, and we've interviewed many Moroccans from a variety of points in their careers, and they've lived out these principles and made them happen. So just go to MoroccoPodcast.com or find Morocco Business in Morocco podcast on YouTube, and you can see these episodes that are there.
Yeah, when you talk about Fiverr or Upwork, I have a very specific and technical tip. Okay, so you created your Fiverr boutique or your virtual store. Okay, whatever service you're providing, design, writing, it doesn't really matter what it is. You can create it. You'll have a link. Okay. You have a link to your individual profile. You then start an Instagram account that has a catchy phrase to it, but also sort of describes what it is, what you do. Okay. Then your profile link is that link to your store. You start posting pieces of your work. Okay, things you're interested in or examples of your work. But then here's the more specific point. You start following other accounts and you start making comments, intelligent, relevant comments in your industry or area of interest on other accounts that are highly followed. Okay, it's going to be a small percentage, but a small percentage of the people who follow those accounts, they also look at the comments. And an even smaller percentage of those people, when they look at the comments, they look at who made the comments. And an even smaller percentage of those people click on the profile of the person who makes an interesting comment. And then there's your link. And then they will click on that link. It is a way of literally doing lead generation with all you're doing is your time. That's it. It doesn't cost you anything, but you can generate leads to your profile on these sites by simply making comments on people's Instagram posts.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And I've done it myself where I've been looking at something I'm interested in. I've read some of the comments. Someone said something. I thought, oh, that's insightful or that's interesting. Who is this person? And I've clicked and then I discovered somebody new. I've followed that exact same trail that you're describing. And so I know it's valuable. I know it can work. And like you said, it's a small percentage, but when you're looking for a job, when you're unemployed, you should be willing to put in the effort and to do whatever it takes. You really need to try anything. At this point, you have a full-time job of finding a job. And so just, you know, putting in an hour of work to check your email or scroll through job postings and then saying, well, yeah, that's all I can do, right? I'm looking for a job. What else am I going to do? Is making excuses and it's being lazy. You need to try every avenue. You need to kind of turn over every rock and pursue every opportunity. Another thing that can be really helpful is to try to make personal contacts. So it's great to grow your online presence and your LinkedIn network. Those things can be very powerful, but it can also be powerful to add the human connection to it. So that might be following up. So you submit a resume and then you call the company or send a follow-up email and say, hey, I'm just checking back. You know, if you've been able to process through the resumes, you know, here's who I am and here's why I think I'd do a great job. You're distinguishing yourself. You're standing out as somebody who's hungry, as somebody who takes initiative, as somebody who's willing to put in extra effort. And then if you can show your face at a company, if you can talk your way through the gatekeeper and get face to face with somebody in HR or a manager and just share who you are, not take a lot of their time, but just hand them a copy of your resume in person, your CV in person, be likable and smile, and then follow up again, you're gonna distinguish yourself. You're gonna set yourself apart.
Yeah, I forgot to mention something in the beginning of this. This is going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Getting a job is always hard. It's always hard. And the second thing is you could very well get it from an unknown location or an unexpected way. Like a door could open to you in an unexpected way. So you need to try a whole bunch of different things in order to get a new job. So certainly some of the things that you mentioned, But this idea that things come easy or that I'm not going to have to work that hard in order to find a job, it's not true. There's so much competition and so few openings that it really is going to be those who work the hardest and the smartest who are going to find positions.
Yeah,
I mean, you mentioned LinkedIn, you know, having a full profile, asking friends to like review your profile and look for mistakes or errors.
Yeah.
If I see a CV and there are errors in it, I just like, it's gone. You cannot make a mistake on your CV. You cannot. When we look through resumes and CVs, we are looking for a reason to throw it away.
Right. Yeah, you got to recognize that there's, for a desirable position, for something that's, well paid, a good company, something that a lot of people would want to take, a job a lot of people would like to have, there's going to be a tremendous amount of competition. And it's a huge investment of a company's time to interview people. And so if there's a way to filter all those CVs down to just a few highly qualified candidates, people will take it. They're not going to interview 80 people for a position. They're going to throw out 90% of the CVs. And there's a lot of software larger companies are using now where CVs have been filtered long before a human eye even sees it. And so there's great content online to learn about how to, you know, tailor your CV so that it survives some of the software filtering packages that are out there, so that you make the cut and you do reach the point where a human eye sees it. But if they see that you've been sloppy or you've let mistakes slide by, yeah, you're right. It's never going to lead to a call. You're not going to get the interview.
Yeah, it really is all about trying to circumvent the system. I think one time I got a job in my whole life, one time I got a job from submitting an online application. But that was because I had, as you mentioned, like my resume was perfect for the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
It checked all the boxes for that particular position in that algorithm. But I know that that's not true for most people. So you're going to have to engage in guerrilla marketing, right? Not like big hairy animal guerrilla, like guerrilla warfare type things. And one of those is how do I separate my email or my online submission or my CV from others? Is build a website for your personal brand, your personal profile. Right now in Morocco, for like 300 dirhams a year or like 400 dirhams a year, you can have a website with a website builder. Now, you also need to buy a domain name, which is unique to you, but that's not expensive either. That's like 100 dirhams or less. Okay. Buy the domain, build the website, put your personal profile on there, make it interesting, entertaining, put some work into it. Maybe you could have some personal testimonies, some video, some audio, some writing, show people who you are, make it interesting. Something that is set apart from the crowd. You know, you could do it. Like I said, if you take the time and effort, you can build your own .ma website for fairly cheap. And there you have it. You have another thing that sets you apart from most people who are looking for work.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that you summarized it well when you said you have to work hard and smart. So there's just effort, you know, pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, calling people, doing everything you can, putting in the hours, kind of knocking on every door, but then also just being smart, thinking through what do I have to offer? What is my competitive advantage? How can I distinguish myself from all the competition? And that takes effort, but effort is rewarded. Because when employers see this person was willing to put in the effort, it speaks highly about the type of person you are and what value you're going to offer to their company should they hire you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the last thing just goes back to networking. We don't want to repeat episode one, but one of the things I told my students is at least half of the value of the degree program assist is the other people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through the whole program and you don't have any friends and contacts, then you have wasted a huge opportunity. I know that if for any reason I have to close down my business here in Morocco and like move back to the United States, you know, I'm going to make 10 phone calls to people that I know that can like set up interviews for me. But they're people that I networked with in various schools and relationships over the years. And it is true that a personal reference is very powerful, especially from someone who already is working in the organization. So anything that you can do to build that network is important. But if you don't have that network, I want to repeat something that I said in the first episode. You pick an industry or an industry that you're interested in, and you identify 10 companies and you go to those 10 companies and you say, hi, my name is Ryan. I'm interested in your type of business and I want to learn as much as I can about it. Can I work here for free in order to develop some skills that will help me get a paying job somewhere else? Do that 10 times. And I promise you one of the 10 will say yes. Promise you. certain. There, 10 people, 10 real businesses, someone offering to come in and work for free just to learn, they're going to at least give you a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go do it. If you have no family, you have no friends, you have no references, at the very least, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great place to begin.
All right. Any saved thoughts? Any last recommendations?
The last thing is just to go through our catalog, as I mentioned before, because there's a lot more on this topic. And we've created a ton of content, interviewed some great guests that have not just been examples, but offered from their experience advice for people that are searching for a job or going to go through an interview. We did an episode with Miriam Lalu. She gave a ton of great tips. And so make sure you're going to our site and enjoying some of that content and learning from it.
Exactly.